We choose to bless the world. Like a phoenix rising out of the ashes, our feet too rested on hot asphalt as temperatures hovered near 112 degrees when the Unitarian Universalist brought our Justice General Assembly, or GA, to Phoenix, Arizona, to protest immigration policies rather than join the boycott of Arizona. Every worship, every plenary, every workshop was aimed at educating us about immigration and preparing us for our service projects of the Naturalization Fair and the Interfaith Witness for Human Rights Candlelight Vigil at Joe Arpaio's Tent City Jail. We heard stories of people whose lives were affected by immigration practices. Some people here live in fear that at any time their families could be torn apart. They could be denied services, and they could be put in prison with no due process and no recourse. One young woman carrying her newborn told of the horrors of being in jail as she was pregnant and not receiving enough food or care. Another told of marrying a young Mexican man who had no papers. She had to prove that indeed they had dated and had a relationship, and she was not just marrying him so that he could become an American citizen. Now that they are married and have a child, there's still the fear that he could be deported and break their family apart. Undocumented migrants cross into Arizona in overwhelming numbers, pushed into its dangerous deserts by a U.S. border policy that seals off safer urban passages. In peak years, Border Patrol agents in Arizona's Tucson sector catch more than 1,000 migrants a day. And Arizona has the highest number of migrant deaths, the total of which now exceeds 10,000 migrants dead. We tried to understand the fear of being separated from family, of not being able to support your family in war-torn Mexico, the fear of dying in the desert, the fear of being undocumented, the fear of being caught and separated from your family, fear of the prisons, fear of being sent back to Mexico and having to make the journey all over again. We sang and we prayed, we laughed and we cried. We held hands and told each other our stories. We witnessed how the lives of others have been affected and what people are doing to make things better. We worked with Unitarian Universalists from across the country, the UU Youth, the UU Young Adults, as well as the local Arizona partners, both UUs and non-UUs. It takes hundreds of thousands of hearts and hands and minds. We took our journey toward walking together in love, turning the tide from hate to human rights. I smuggled a book in Arizona, which had been banned by the Tucson schools, Live from Death Row, by Mumia Abu-Jamal. The 300 lawful permanent residents who attended the naturalization fair at this year's General Assembly were greeted by over 400 UU volunteers. The overwhelming response in Unitarian Universalist volunteer numbers was exceeded only by the warmth and enthusiasm of the volunteers, who live their values in welcoming immigrants and helping them start the final process to become United States citizens, full partners in our nation. Julio is a 20-year-old green card-carrying Mexican immigrant who came to America 7 years ago. He graduated from high school in Phoenix and is an upstanding citizen. For our service project, I was trained to help Julio fill out his complicated N-400 form to apply for American citizenship. I was able to complete Julio's form, except for the question of registering with Selective Service. Julio had been told that he could not do that until he was an American citizen. Wrong. He will need to register with the Selective Service before he can send in his $680 along with the form. When he does this, Julio will become an American citizen. I listened to Border Angel founder Enrique Morenas and Anita Hill and Marie Hinojoso telling stories of immigration. On our Saturday night worship service prepared us with songs and prayers, asking us to remain silent in the face of whatever happened as you use attending the General Assembly in Phoenix, went in solidarity to Joe Arpaio's Tent City Jail to protest SB 1070 and Arizona's treatment of immigrants. We did not know what would happen. Wearing our yellow Standing on the Side of Love t-shirts and singing as we got off the buses, "As I breathe in, I breathe in peace. As I breathe out love." Busload after busload after busload, until there were thousands of us there, filling the space prepared for us near the Tent City Jail. We rallied together, holding electric candles, singing, shouting, swaying, and standing on the side of love and on the side of immigrants, many of whom were imprisoned here with no rights and no due process. We were in the middle of the crowd, and I did not realize until the next day that we were close enough to the jail that the inmates could hear our songs, the protest speeches, and our support. They could see our beacons of light lifting up the worth and dignity of all. They heard us, they saw us, they knew that we cared. I was transformed by the experience. We could not have done it alone. It took all of us together. An amazing, inspiring march, standing up for what we believe. UUA General Assembly is a fantastic, transforming experience. I hope you will all make plans to go in June 2013 to Louisville, Kentucky, especially to support Elizabeth as she walks across the stage one last time in the service of the living tradition, when Elizabeth Green's name will be called, with ministers receiving final fellowship, giving recognition for her years of service to Unitarian Universalism. Start saving your money now. Going to GA will change your life.
I grew up in El Paso, Texas, on the border with Mexico. About two-thirds of El Paso's population was Hispanic. I went to El Paso High School with a diverse student population of WASPs, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, Mexican-Americans, Jews who had escaped pogroms and the Nazi Holocaust, and Christian Lebanese who had fled persecution and famine in their homeland. And we had one black guy who was a football hero and the president of the junior class. There was much cross-cultural dating, cross-cultural everything. No hallways were staked out by one group. There was little animosity. To answer Rodney King's question, can't we all get along? Sí, se puede. And we were proof of it. This also applied to the larger community of El Paso, which has traditionally been one of the least violent cities in the United States, despite the drug-fueled civil war across the river in Mexico. El Paso elected a Hispanic mayor, Raymond Tellez, in 1957. He went on to federal appointments under President Kennedy and President Nixon. I grew up in a home surrounded by cotton fields, where truckloads of Mexicans were brought in temporarily and legally to work the fields under the Bracero program. I also saw Border Patrol jeeps carrying men we called wetbacks, undocumented immigrants, on their way back to Mexico. It was a fact of life, and we didn't question it. On the other hand, it never occurred to me to ask any of the kids I went to school with if they were in the U.S. legally or not. It just didn't cross my mind. It didn't matter. Still doesn't. This was the culture in which I grew up, and when I left El Paso after high school, I was a little surprised to find that the rest of the world wasn't like that. At GA in Phoenix last month, I heard the name of a grade school friend, Sylvester Reyes, mentioned disparagingly at least twice. I once heard him blamed for the deaths of 10,000 people. You see, Sylvester was bright and ambitious. He joined the Border Patrol and rose to be commander of the El Paso sector. He initiated Operation Hold the Line, a get-tough effort to stem the tide of undocumented immigrants through El Paso. It worked, and San Diego copied the program. But the closing of the border at El Paso and San Diego sent those seeking jobs in the U.S. through the desert to Arizona, and as Wanda stated, it's estimated that 10,000 have died on that route. For the success of his program, Sylvester was rewarded by being elected to Congress, where he has served for 16 years working on immigration reform, including supporting the DREAM Act, efforts to keep immigrant families together, and to make legal immigration easier. So you see, the immigration story is filled with quandaries and contradictions. Sylvester Reyes' grandfather came from Mexico illegally. I read that after Sylvester was in Congress. As a boy, I never knew. It didn't occur to me to ask. In the 70s, Wanda and I were teaching in a two-room schoolhouse at a natural gas compressor plant 90 miles east of El Paso. One cold night, there was a knock at the door. Three men stood outside, bedrolls suspended by ropes from their shoulders. They didn't speak English. I spoke a little Spanish, but I got the idea they were looking for a place to stay for the night. I motioned our garage, which seemed to suit them fine. They spent the night there, shielded from the weather, and left early the next morning. I believe we gave them water, but I don't recall if we provided anything else. I don't know where they came from. It didn't occur to me to ask. But they had either walked 90 miles across the desert or perhaps bailed out of a truck just before it reached a Border Patrol checkpoint. I don't know where they were going, but we harbored them for the night, so I guess we committed a federal felony. As we heard at GA, legal does not mean ethical or moral, and the only border is the one in your mind. At GA, we heard from some who had survived the trip through the desert, a few brave souls who were willing to stand up and tell us what it's like to be here, trying to build a better life for themselves and their families, not knowing when they'll be picked up by the appropriately named ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, where they'll be held indefinitely in detention centers, then shipped back to Mexico. Some were so young when their parents brought them here that they have no memory of Mexico. One speaker at GA was the widow of a police officer who had been shot and killed by an undocumented immigrant. She has become an activist trying to convince people that undocumented immigrants as a whole are not violent, that they want the same things the rest of us want. The figures we heard at GA were 2/3 come here to look for jobs and most of the rest come to rejoin their families. I've heard Americans right here in Boise say, those people are coming to take our jobs, our welfare money, free health care, free education, to smuggle in drugs, and we should just send the army to the border to shoot them as they come across. We have a long way to go to change public perception. General Assembly in Phoenix was different from any other. Someone remarked that we were actually doing something besides the usual UU navel gazing. We had workshops and lectures on immigrant problems and bridging the borders between people. There were social action projects. The 400 UUs helped people prepare paperwork to become U.S. citizens. Hundreds of others filled backpacks with beat the heat items for children at a local community center. Saturday night, 2,000 to 3,000 of us rode buses in standing on the side of Love Yellow out to Sheriff Joe Arpaio's Tent City Jail. We were joined by smaller religious and activist groups in a mass rally opposing the treatment of inmates at the jail and the treatment of immigrants in general. The Arizona law known as Senate Bill 1070 had been on hold for 2 years, but Sheriff Arpaio found other Arizona laws that allowed him to round up undocumented immigrants anyway. The sheriff and his deputies lined the side of the street by the jail to keep an eye on us, while the Phoenix police officers lined the other side to keep an eye on the handful of counter-demonstrators. There is no love lost between the Phoenix PD and Sheriff Joe. The sheriff has filed charges against the mayor of Phoenix and several other public figures who haven't gone along with his policies. Only one of those cases has resulted in a conviction for a Class II misdemeanor. But on this night, we UUs carried out a model protest with songs, speeches, thousands of electric candles, and our yellow Standing on the Side of Love t-shirts. And no trouble whatsoever. The next day, stories and photos from our rally ran in newspapers and on TV across the country. And that next day, in a plenary session at GA, an overwhelming number of us from across the nation voted to repudiate the doctrine of discovery, the official legal precedent that gives our Euro-American government the right to establish dominion over anyone who is not white, Christian, and Euro-American. Then, to cap it all off, as we prepared to leave Phoenix on Monday, we heard the news that the U.S. Supreme Court had overturned 3 of 4 provisions in Arizona Senate Bill 1070. GA had been a heady experience, one that left all of us feeling we had been involved in something important. But as we have seen, the forces opposing us are strong. In the cold, clear light of day, what did we really accomplish? Well, perhaps we took a baby step along the path to universal justice. The weekend before GA, we heard that Aung San Suu Kyi, a Myanmar political opposition leader who had been under house arrest for years, was traveling to Oslo to receive the Nobel Peace Prize she had won in 1991. When we were writing those Amnesty International letters through the years, it often seemed that change would never come. But it did, because the only border is the one in your mind.
General Assembly 2012 was highly controversial at General Assembly 2010. I serve as your trustee to the Unitarian Universalist Association, or UUA, National Board, and I was sort of around the edges privy to the heated discussions that went on in 2010 for hours and hours. At first, the majority of GA attendees wanted us to take GA someplace, any place besides Phoenix. They were passionate about not taking money into a state with such cruel, inhumane, unjust practices, especially around immigration. Now, one could ask why any denomination in its right mind would go to Phoenix in late June under any circumstances. But that's another issue. I mean, I do wonder about that one. The Unitarian Universalists, or UUs, from Arizona, this is in 2010 now, were even more passionate about asking for solidarity, asking us not to leave them struggling in such small numbers. They asked us to show up for justice, to bring thousands of people in to stand in solidarity with victims of a horrible system and the rampant injustice within it. After a literally all-night session, our moderator, Ginny Corder, is brilliant at this kind of thing. They were in her suite all night. After that all night, a compromise was reached. We would hold GA in Phoenix, but it would be different, focused on justice. Yes, we would have plenary business meetings. At the same time, all our other speakers would focus on justice issues. And there would be no how to run a good canvas or how to strengthen your worship service workshops. For all of the workshops would focus on justice in our faith. It was more daunting than you might think to plan this. For there are a lot of people who are used to planning GAs in the usual way, It could have been easy for us, mostly white, mostly upper middle class or middle class, mostly pretty well educated folks, to create something that we thought aimed toward justice, but not really to have much of a clue, as we don't, about the plights of the poor, the disadvantaged, people of color or undocumented immigrants. I had my doubts, I will reluctantly admit. But humility, inspiration, and respect won the day. And the planning was overseen by a remarkable group of people with high sensitivities about privilege and how that is played out in the world. We were invited in by several organizations that are on the ground, like the National Day Labor Organization Network and Work Endelon, Somos Arizona, others. There were like three or four others. And the planning was done collaboratively with all the cultural clashes and possible misunderstandings that that kind of work involves. As you heard from Wanda and Brian, the experience moved and changed us. And I took away two primary things. The first was a renewed respect, almost an awe, for the power of intention. The UUA board, the staff, the GA planning committee, the accountability group, and who knows who else kept their eye on the prize, never wavering from the vision of lifting up justice, of working with, not just for, the oppressed and the disadvantaged. May that lesson, the power of intention, the power of focus, the power of vision, may that stay with us in all sorts of areas in our lives. And my second lesson for me was twofold. It was a realization of how monochromatic my life is in church and out on many fronts, which is to say language, color, liberal leanings, age, class, education, undoubtedly many more I'm not even aware of. And the second part of this second realization is a new eagerness to approach the world more openly, to listen better to differing opinions from mine, to learn new languages, to pay attention to, maybe even talk to the invisible ones I come across nearly every day, like the people who do the gardening in my townhouse complex. I noticed that we residents, I do, but most residents don't even say hi to them. I hope that my ministry this coming year reflects my heart's opening. I hope my life does. I was deeply moved by Maria Hinojosa, an outstanding Mexican-American journalist who delivered the prestigious Ware Lecture. I really recommend Googling her for the many, many interesting programs she has been responsible for. Hinojosa told us a story that illustrates her vision for America, and I love this story. An undocumented Mexican worker, Antonio Hernandez, was killed in the 9-1-1 attack on the World Trade Center. Hinojosa and her journalists featured his widow, Julia, and their four children, bereft and undocumented. Thousands of people wrote to the family, including a gay South Carolinian hairdresser who lived in Maine with his farmer partner. AJ and Rudy raised thousands of dollars to help the family and invited Julia and her children to spend a week on the farm in Maine. Here's what Maria Hinojosa says. I have a photo of myself, Julia Hernandez and AJ Dinkins wearing his American flag t-shirt. That is my vision for a new America, where people get out of their own comfort zone and embrace difference and only see their common humanity. What a picture. What a vision. With all my heart, I hope that I and all of us you use here and elsewhere can learn the humility, awareness, and grace that we need to bring such a world about.